You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. On our previous show, we had the look at the Antonio Brown trade to the Raiders, what it did to affect the Raiders' values, Antonio Brown's value, as well as what it left with the Steelers. Well, we had another big blockbuster. We're waiting a little bit in free agency before we had something to chime in about here. We didn't want to speculate more here, so we took a little time to wait, and then we got the bomb yesterday of Odell Beckham Jr. being traded to the Browns from the Giants. So we'll talk about that move mainly here, and we'll also look at some other wide receiver moves. We did have the big running back move of Le'Veon Bell signing with the Jets late last night, early in the morning, but there's still a lot of running backs to be determined there, so we'll wait to talk about those. There's some veterans that signed some minor deals, but things have not totally fallen into place with a lot of the top free agents there behind Bell, so we'll wait until they sign before we talk about them. This show, wide receivers, it works out well because we already talked about Brown. We'll devote most of the show to talking about Odell Beckham, looking at first the situation with the Browns, the team he's going to, and then the situation left over with the Giants and what they have to think about going forward. Then we'll look at some of the other wide receivers that signed. You had some good deals there overall, five notably, so we'll talk about those. We're still waiting on Golden Tate and Tyrell Williams to sign in places, but most of the other free agents here in a weak wide receiver class signed. That's why he had the big trade for Brown. That's why he had the big trade for Beckham. So let's dive into the Beckham trade. It's big, big news here where you have a seismic shift. And we know the Browns were a very promising offense there down the stretch with Baker Mayfield really emerging as a QB1. You had Jarvis Landry doing a lot more than he did earlier in the season, working as the go-to receiver out of the slot. They had trouble working in the tight end, David Njoku, and Duke Johnson was not as involved there out of the backfield. This wants to be a downfield throwing team. So you saw Antonio Callaway step in when Josh Gordon was released. Well, they wanted to have that true number one, and Odell Beckham Jr. gives them that. And this outside-inside combination of Beckham and Landry is going to be extremely hard to stop. And Mayfield is locked in as a QB1. Let's start with that. He's just remarkable season as a rookie. He wants to be aggressive, throw the ball downfield, finishes drives well, gets the touchdowns, going to make the big plays, big yardage games as well. And he was missing a go-to guy like this. So Baker Mayfield really climbs up the charts as a QB1. There's some Patrick Mahomes type potential. I think that's how big the upside is here in the numbers that Mayfield could put up. And Patrick Mahomes, we know, is going to be the number one quarterback taken in all formats. Andrew Luck will have a competition for the number two on the board. There was just the volume and the production there. And he also got some help here in free agency. But you look at that, I mean, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, we know they didn't produce as well as they could have last year. You had Aaron Rodgers, where they have a running game in Green Bay, and they didn't force it, and we're not sure. So there's an opening there for that number two quarterback. And Mayfield, just by the pure ability for Beckham and Landry to put up numbers with him, you've got to really pump his value up here. And I think they'll find a way to get David Njoku more involved. They actually also picked up Demetrius Harris from the Chiefs, so they have another receiving threat there that was with Mahomes, and very similar styled offense downfield. We know Carson Palmer, if we go back to the Bruce Arians way, was Freddie Kitchens was tied to, had some big numbers there. So this is all lining up for Baker Mayfield to have a big season. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., think about it. You had Jarvis Landry. He's pretty much what Sterling Shepard was, but a little bit more pure slot oriented and a little bit savvier and more productive. So pretty much Odell Beckham Jr. is a great position to produce. The only thing is that we know that Mayfield has much better upside now than Eli Manning. So I think Odell Beckham Jr. increases his value as a wide receiver one. Now I look at it versus Antonio Brown going to the Raiders, that you look at Odell Beckham Jr. having bigger value just because he's got some guy to deflect some attention. He's got a legitimate top flight quarterback here, Derek Carr versus Baker Mayfield. So I don't know how much farther you can go up as a wide receiver one. I mean, it's the same guys in the conversation. I think Antonio Brown, I dropped a few notches here, but still in the wide receiver one elite conversation that you look at in the first round of drafts. A little bit harder now with all the running backs that are featured that you look at more. But if you look at right now, I think Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones with touchdown concern is still there a little bit, but I think it comes down to Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins is the number one, maybe Julio Jones and Antonio Brown falling behind. And mentioned as well with the Brown move, Juju Smith-Schuster becomes a big clear number one there. So that's another guy that I would look at as well because he's put up the numbers with Brown. Now he's going to be the clear go-to guy there. So again, Odell Beckham Jr., I think top two wide receiver in this situation, not a stretch at all. We know he's an amazing talent and now he's a great quarterback and a great guy, teammate there to help, and he's going to be the focal point here. I know they'll involve Antonio Callaway still as an occasional deep threat when they stretch the field. They have Rashad Higgins as well, but we know this is going to be a high volume Beckham and Landry targeting show here. So great news for Mayfield and Beckham. They can't much go much higher at their respective positions, but they've managed to do that here going in. Now, Landry, I think this helps him a lot as well because Sterling Shepard, we know the trickle-down was there and he could produce rather well. And again, Mayfield to Landry is a better thing to trust right now than Manning to Shepard playing off Beckham. So that's a big bump for Jarvis Landry. I think he could be at wide receiver two. The key for him is the touchdowns. We know he's going to get the volume in PPR. He's definitely a wide receiver too. Now, I think it does impact the tight ends a little bit because this is an offense with Kitchens, that Arians tie-in, that the tight end was involved. It's very frustrating for David Njoku owners, especially because they had that offensive philosophy change in the middle of the season from Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley to Kitchens. So I don't know if this necessarily helps because there's another mouth to feed and a very big mouth. So when you look at that, the targets, are there going to be there, especially when you have these receivers, a team that likes to throw downfield. So David Njoku, I think, drops him in not, especially with Harris coming in behind him, a very good backup receiving tight end that the Chiefs just had. So he's a guy maybe adversely affected. I think Duke Johnson, they still could look to move him as well. I don't think they're going to rely on these backs in the pass game when you have Landry, and you're still trying to get Njoku the ball. Landry's a short receiving option in his own right here. So overall, you're looking at a team that, again, is going to be wide receiver oriented. They've a lot of talent there. Four guys, I think they could be the most talented in the NFL. Njoku's going to still have his value in the red zone and stretch the field a little bit. And we know there's parallel there with Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard. I think it's just all bumps there, but the only problem is the Browns have better wide receivers that are behind those two guys versus the Giants. So with Harris cutting in a little bit to what Njoku can do and these guys, I think that's gone. And then they're just not going to trust Duke Johnson that much. They don't need to. And I would think they're going to look to move him. I know they just extended him last year, but we'll see how the Kareem Hunt situation works out. If it's looking like he's going to be an option at some point. But Nick Chubb, not a big pass catcher, so that may not be important to keep Duke Johnson anyway because you're not going to probably throw to your backs as much there. So Kareem Hunt, if you get that and that luxury of a complete back, they can do everything to add to all these guys and fine. But at some point, there's only one ball. So it's that trick in fantasy football. You want a talented offense and a lot of good playmakers so no one guy gets a lot of focus and they can continue to make big plays. But that said, you also don't want it to get too deep or to get spread out a little bit. But, you know, Beckham's going to be the alpha in the pass game. Jarvis Landry's going to be a pretty good second option, the beta, if you will. And then I would say it's going to be a mix between the rest of the guys, mainly Callaway and Njoku, and then Higgins coming in and a little bit of Harris in the passing game. So that doesn't leave too much for Johnson. So Johnson already was disappointing last year. We could see that one coming with the way they drafted Nick Chubb and also had Carlos Hyde before they traded Carlos Hyde. So a lot of things in flux there for the Browns. But I'd say, again, the biggest beneficiaries bump up the value really nicely for Mayfield, Beckham himself, and Landry. And I think you have to look at it going up for Chubb as well, because it's going to open things up in the running game for him to finish drives, more scoring opportunities. He's a good finisher in the red zone. So when you have guys like that, it's going to help the touchdowns, and touchdowns are going to come more and are going to help everyone across the board. But in terms of yardage and looks and targets, you would think that Njoku and Duke Johnson, not as good for them and more detriment to their values here going forward. Before we dive into the Giants side of things here and what leaves the Odell Beckham deal, keep in mind that we've got all your team-by-team podcasts rolling through free agency. So whatever your team is doing, and we'll be talking a lot about teams and the connections in relation to fantasy football skill players, check it out here on the Locked On NFL Network. You got our flagship show with Matt Williamson. We've got all the good clips, Locked On Giants, Locked On Browns, just to name a few here. So all the shows are busy talking away at what's going on, team-specific impacts there. So check it out here. And it's a great time here on NFL Free Agency with the Locked On Network. And happy to be a part of it here on the Fantasy Football Show. I'll be right back here to look at the Giants side of the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. All right, well, we know the Browns have made out like bandits here. The Giants, however, feel like they've been robbed a little bit. And it's a struggle. At least we know that Sterling Shepard for now is going to be the number one. They just have Corey Coleman behind him and a bunch of other guys, street guys, because Cody Latimer is a free agent. They just don't have much. Russell Shepard as well. So I don't know where the Giants are going to go from here. They might have to trade for a wide receiver. I know there's some people looking at Tyrell Williams, but it looks like the Steelers might be looking at him more as the replacement versus the Giants there. The Giants could draft one now that they have the 17th pick as well as the number 6 pick. They could mix it up. They could take a quarterback and a wide receiver. They could take a wide receiver early, wide receiver late. There are kind of options there for them across the board here now in their offense. They did upgraded guard with Kevin Zeitler. That's going to help Saquon Barkley. That was a separate deal they made with the Browns with Olivier Vernon. The Jabril Peppers, I don't think that moves the needle as much. They have Antoine Bethea also at safety. So that part, the Giants defense still in transition, trying to get James Betcher's scheme going. They had to move guys like Vernon who didn't fit the scheme. Landon Collins also didn't get re-signed. So they're trying to get by with Bethea and Peppers and all these guys. So the Giants defense, nothing to see there in terms of fantasy. Giants offense, Sterling Shepard again, number one. Eli Manning right now looks like the starter. We'll have to see if they go after Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray or flip it and take their quarterback later in the first round. So a lot of question marks there on who's going to be the wide receiver or the quarterback. But Sterling Shepard, a clear number one receiver. They've liked him. He's been very productive when Beckham has not been in the lineup. And he's done a lot more in the slot. He can line up outside, do a lot of things. Eli Manning has a good relationship with him. So if Eli has to start again, Shepard is looking like a wide receiver too. And Evan Engram is clearly a tight end one in this situation because he's really their second best receiver, maybe a co-number one receiver with Sterling Shepard as it stands right now. So you're looking at a whole bunch of Saquon Barkley there dominating. He's clearly going to be a high first-round pick. He has an argument there for the first overall pick in this situation because he's going to get all the balls here for the most part and be the high volume. This is Dave Gettleman. They like to run the ball and be old school a little bit. So Barkley is going to be in that conversation there for that number one overall pick for sure. And I think his value just increases as being the go-to guy. Shepard, wide receiver two. Engram is a tight end one. It's pretty clear-cut there. Now, what do the Giants do from here? It's going to be interesting. Is it going to stick in with Eli Manning, bridge that gap to the next year's draft class and hope for things to be better, or use this capital that they have with number 6 and number 17 overall to take that quarterback in some order here, and maybe they'll just go defensive line to help their team or pass rusher early there and not look at wide receiver. And if this situation holds, that's what you look at. Even if they bring in a rookie, Shepard is going to be the guy, and the rookie's going to play off him. So keep that in mind. So Sterling Shepard may be being overlooked on this side and the value of him because he's a clear number one in Ingram as well. So those two guys moving up. Again, is this going to have the better production overall? That's going to be the question mark. I think the Giants may struggle to move the ball a little bit, whether it's Eli Manning or a rookie in there, but they're going to have fewer mouths to feed versus the Browns, and that kind of balances things out. And it's not like Shepard and Ingram and Barkley are just chopped liver here. They're pretty darn good talents in their own right, especially Barkley leading the way. So again, bump up for all the Giants. In fantasy football perspective, it's a little different from the reality perspective where there's Wove, or are the Giants going to win games? Do they make a mistake by drafting Barkley instead of a quarterback last year? All that might be going through people's heads, but in terms of fantasy football, this clear-cut moving on up for their leftover guys here. The Giants, I mean, Haskins or Murray, I think it opens up to either one of these quarterbacks right now. Maybe as a draft, they could look at different options here with DK Metcalf or Marquise Brown, N'Keal Harry there of Arizona State. So all kinds of things that could really help the Giants kind of recover from Odell Beckham Jr. It's going to be hard to replace that production, impossible, because it's just a elite player you're talking about. But overall, you look at Giants kind of things, and that's how you look at it. And then as you upgrade what you have for now, and then you wait to see things later. So things are never complete here in the offseason until you get past the draft and kind of can see the big picture. But for now, I think you look at the Giants and say, it's pretty streamlined at 1, 2, 3 options, and everyone else, there's not much to see there. So, and you really like the addition of Zeitler. He's going to give them another blocking presence there that really helps. So this is a team that should be better up front. I think they could also focus on the offensive line, get back to the hog molly approach that Dave Gettleman has liked to talk about ever since his days with the Panthers. So we will see how that progresses, but the Giants definitely making transition. We know Beckham is the former face of the franchise. That's clearly Barkley right now, and everything's going to revolve around him and what he can do. And again, I'm looking Barkley more as I feel it with Todd Gurley and the injury concerns. Le'Veon Bell will figure out his value in our next show, talk about what it could be for the Jets, how high the value goes. But when you look at it overall, a guy that touches the ball at a high volume and is just purely talented, I think, and young and fresh and doesn't have that injury history in the NFL, you got to say it's Saquon as your number one overall pick in fantasy football. Maybe Patrick Mahomes sneaks in there in some quarterback-friendly league drafts, but in terms of running back versus wide receiver, Barkley's still the guy, and Beckham not too far behind there as an argument for the top wide receiver one on the board with now DeAndre Hopkins. All right, we'll be back in a minute to look at the other wide receiver signings of note, but I have to tell you, the easiest way to listen to our Locked On shows is in your car. Yeah, that's right, driving around. We've got you covered here, our length of the shows, and less than a half an hour, you are good to go with the insight you need, whether it's a team that you follow or an aspect of your sport, the draft, fantasy football. We got the Locked On Draft shows here, Locked On NFL Draft. We got Draft Dudes as well, bringing you closer here. We have Kyler Murray's Pro Day, so check that out. So getting caught up here, just driving around in your car, that's the way to do it here with the Locked On NFL Network, and it's easier than ever with the smart speakers in your car and snippets you can listen to. So that's how we got you covered. In 1 week, you can catch up on everything just going around and driving. And we appreciate however you consume the podcast and give us feedback on how we can keep improving the Locked On NFL Network shows. We'll be right back here to look at the other wide receiver signings as of Tuesday of free agency week. Okay, we got a few wide receivers that also found homes here. We'll start with Adam Humphries. I had him as number second, the Buccaneers slot receiver. He goes to the Titans. I kind of like this fit. You have Corey Davis there. Humphries has been sneaky productive at times. He goes from Jameis Winston to Marcus Mariota here, so good inside receiver there. And Humphries, underrated pickup. I think you look at his age, he's very talented. He can make some tough catches in the slot. Very prolific there. He's tougher and younger than some of the guys that were available. So playing off Corey Davis was a big target. We know that lining up. And the Titans have needed kind of slot guy. Remember, Mike Vrabel was there with Dean Pease. So a little bit of that used to that role producing with Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola from the days with the Patriots. So Adam Humphries, I think, it can be better than those guys. He's just a natural guy. We've seen him go off and be a favorite target of Jameis Winston working in the middle of the field. So I really like this move. Humphries is a sleeper that we're going to watch, especially in PPR, for the Titans here, because we know number two receiver was tough there. They had different guys like Taywan Taylor and people that disappointed. But right now, I really like what Humphries can do as a second receiver, especially when you look at tight end and Delanie Walker being older and coming off a major injury. Jonu Smith, we'll see about him, but I think Humphries is going to clearly be the number two target there. Now, you look at the Colts and Devin Funchess. This is a sneaky pickup because they need a big outside guy. They gave him a one-year deal, so it's kind of like they're trying to get another Dante Moncrief in there, a big guy on the outside. They can make a few plays downfield, play off the speed of T.Y. Hilton inside, and we know that with catch radius guys, you know, Andrew Luck likes them, and they finish in the red zone. You had Eric Ebron have his big year. Jack Doyle was doing things before he got hurt. We'll have to see how that two tight end set plays out here, but they just had a mess at wide receiver. Remember Dontrell Inman and Ryan Grant? They're all, like, unrestricted free agents here, so they need some replacements here, different mouths to feed. So Ebron definitely is going to be a red zone target, but there's a good chance right now that Funchess is going to line up and play outside because Chester Rogers is more of a slot guy, Hilton on the outside making big plays. So incentive-laden deal for Devin Funchess, but this is a pretty good fit for him because of the size. And Andrew Luck likes guys who can go up and get the ball and make some big plays. I think it would have been hard to see Funchess produce in a lot of places. That's why he got this limited one-year deal. But I think of all the places he could go that has some upside for him to kind of rebound, I think the Colts certainly provide that. Now, the Jets, we'll talk about Bell, but another pickup, actually they made two, but Josh Bellamy's just a depth guy because you have Robbie Anderson, Quincy Nunua back, is Jamison Crowder. So Quincy Nunua was at one point the big slot guy. Now he'll be the outside guy with Anderson as they're bringing back both those guys. Crowder will be the pure traditional slot guy for Adam Gase in the Jarvis Landry-like role from Miami. They'll be a good go-to guy, safety valve, as well as Chris Herndon, the tight end, for quarterback Sam Darnold. So you're looking at Jamison Crowder, 3 years, $28.5 million. A lot of money for him, but they see him in a key role. And we know he's had some good fantasy production in the past a couple years ago when they needed him and the Redskins struggled. The outside receiver really produced. So between Anderson and Nunua and Crowder, I think Crowder will end up being maybe the 2A or 2B option behind Anderson. I think Nunua is going to be there, but I think Herndon and Crowder, given their positions in the slot and tight end inside, working in the midfield, they'll be there. So not going to be excited about Jamison Crowder yet, but he has some wide receiver 3 potential, especially in PPR leagues. Now the Bills, finally, we'll talk about them and the two moves they made. You had John Brown and Cole Beasley. And, you know, when these guys, I mean, John Brown, we know why the Bills got him because he's that deep threat, big playmaker. He was making those plays for the Ravens last year, but it all fell apart when they made the quarterback change from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson because they simply weren't throwing the ball downfield. So John Brown, again, he technically meshes with what Josh Allen can do with a big arm, but you had Robert Foster making some big plays, stretching it last year. You have Zay Jones with some speed. So John Brown is always an injury concern here, and he's yet in another new offense here. So there are a lot of concerns. I'm not going to rush out and be excited that he can be number one in Buffalo, especially when you think about Foster and Jones and the fact that they also signed Cole Beasley. I know he's the pure slot guy. The numbers weren't big, but you look at 4 years, 29 for him, 3 years, 27 for John Brown. So if you follow the money, John Brown is going to be a little bit more involved as that deep, big play threat and get a chance to start outside. Right now, it's Foster and Brown are the guys that they look at to start. Zay Jones still finding his way. Beasley working in the slot. So not much to see here fantasy football-wise. We'll keep Brown on our radar because look what happened last year. We were looking at this Ravens receiving corps. They blew things up with Michael Crabtree and Willie Snead coming in, and we weren't sure who the number one was going to be. And then there was the chemistry reports with Flacco and Brown, and then Brown was the guy that produced early. Then all of a sudden that value just totally diminished when they switched to that run-heavy offense with Lamar Jackson. So we'll keep an eye on John Brown as a sleeper here, but not feeling that they're going to get too much there out of him. And again, when you start to go away from Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., things really trickle down and more question marks as we try to figure it out, but some intrigue nonetheless. I think once we get Tyrell Williams signed, and depending on where he signs, there's going to be some value there that could be after the moves of Brown and Beckham. That's how kind of quite the wide receivers have been on the open market besides these two trades. So there you have it. There's another edition of Lockdown Fantasy Football in the books. Please check us out, and we'll continue to bring in the analysis as things come. Hopefully we get a few more running backs in there, and then we'll break down Le'Veon Bell and the free agent running backs here with the signings in the first wave of free agency. And we'll keep bringing you shows as things happen here to analyze the best moves there for you and the worst moves as well to get you a better outlook for fantasy football in 2019 as we head into the NFL draft. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.